From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
You got war in the Middle East, you got war in Ukraine, you got inflation, recession, bad weather, flooding, high gas prices. Politicians talking out of both sides of their mouths, but keep in mind, it could always be worse. Hell yes, Mr. Rob Roop, thank you very much. It is me, Mike. This is Mike Davidson Lives, the podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you for keeping me out of trouble for the next half hour. Well, at least outside of leaving the room and causing trouble, because right now, who knows what I can say with the microphone on. Well, I kind of have an idea. Gas prices jumped up $3.80 here in Indiana yesterday just because of the tumult going on. And I'm sure the bridge collapse out in Baltimore didn't help things either. I mean, you know, that's a major port in the United States. So I'm sure there's quite a few things contributing to pocketbooks getting pinched. But doing all right otherwise. Kids are doing okay. Spring break. They're lounging around doing nothing. I mean, well, Logan does nothing anyway. He's two. He doesn't go to school yet. But Lana's been I think Lana, the most, is just getting hella bored. Just because the weather's been either stormy or cold, and it has not seemed very spring-like at all this past week. So she's been kind of holed up watching movies and TV. Hazel the same. Hazel is my spirit animal. Lana's a goofball like I can be. Logan's my little shadow, but Hazel is my spirit animal. Like, she and I are alike in a lot of ways. And she's been sleeping a hell of a lot this past week. I know she had her anoids out not too long ago, and that might contribute to that. But she's not early to rise when she doesn't have to be. And I applaud her for that, really. Because Lana takes after her mom. And my wife gets up and gets stuff done, and I'd rather be sleeping in 10, 12 hours. Hazel's got the right idea about things. But there is some stuff for them to look forward to this weekend, an Easter egg hunt, where I work, and you heard that correctly. There is an Easter egg hunt. They're having it a week after, kind of a last minute thing. And I don't think the kids are going to complain because, hey, it's another shot at candy, and what kid doesn't like candy? But this is not the first place I have worked at where, okay, you do something holiday-like after a holiday. I've worked at places where we've had the Christmas party in January. And kind of hard to be in the holiday spirit when it's like 2 weeks removed from the new year, right? Not bad. I'm sure the kids will have fun as long as it, you know, dries out and warms up a little bit. Okay, some Disney news for you, because I know you love that company. Well, I mean, at one point we all did. Now it's just kind of... Bob Iger has survived his coup. There's trying to be an ouster of him as CEO. He survived. Disney, of course, still sputtering. But you would think him coming back on board and seeing the things that have been going on lately, that there could be some lessons learned. Like, hey, maybe we ought to, with respective movies, we should be catering to the fan bases. Like, okay, with our cartoons, our animated fairy tale fare, Pixar too, we cater to the kids, right? Star Wars, Marvel, those have, you know, great fan base. Well, sometimes great fan bases. We can appease them and give them what they want. And, you know, I was kind of optimistic about this Fantastic Four movie for a bit because, you know, they announced the cast. I had no problem about the cast. The retro poster was a nice touch. And then they announced Wednesday, the person who will be playing Silver Surfer, Herald of Galactus. And I've always been Dreamcast would be Keanu Reeves because he's kind of got an alien vibe to him. You can CGI him up and have him voice it, and it works. They decided to go to a slightly different route and cast Julia Gardner from Ozark. Yeah, Julia, no penis, Gardner from Ozark to play a female version of Silver Surfer, and it's gone over very well on the internet. And a lot of people are crying sexism if you criticize this casting. What a lot of people don't realize is that if you have a chance to do a great Fantastic Four movie and you were to tell it with the greatest characters, would you do it with the original male version of Silver Surfer or an also ran female version of Silver Surfer? Because Norton Rad came first. He was the original Silver Surfer. And Disney is looking at it from a demographic standpoint, like, oh, well, you know, Barbie, we got to bring more female fans into the audience. And Barbie did very well. And if we can, you know, make this person this, this person that, we'll make everybody happy. But they won't, because what they fail to realize is Fantastic Four is a comic book property. And with a few exceptions, most comic book readers were male, are male. Were because there used to be a ton of comic book readers back in the day. What made Barbie work was the fact that Barbie was always a female intellectual property, and it was just a no-brainer. It was a duh, and it worked. It was the top grossing movie of 2023. And so what they're doing is they're taking a mostly dude property, anything from Marvel Comics, and trying to chase that almighty pink dollar, and they're just not going to do it. And it kind of sucks, because from what it looks like now, we're just never going to get that great Fantastic Four movie. Another dream thing of mine would have been to just drop a buttload of money off at Christopher Nolan's house and say, okay, you and a screenwriter get together, you make a Fantastic Four movie for us, it will not suck, because you're Christopher Nolan. And even if it's a little off the beaten path, I don't think too many people are going to complain. But whatever, they're going to do female Silver Surfer. And just, yeah. My enthusiasm for this project has dropped like 80%. It's just, practically non-existent now. And again, it kind of keeping with that whole thing with not learning their lesson, it was revealed this week just how costly Dial of Destiny was for Disney. I think they ended up losing $130 million, but here's the real kicker. The final budget on this damn picture, because it was originally said, oh yeah, it was $250 million, and then there was rumor flying around, okay, Dial of Destiny was costing upwards to $300 million. And I know there's inflation and all that shit, but I mean, you know, that's well past what Titanic cost back in the late 90s, right? I mean, everybody lost their shit when James Cameron was shooting Titanic for like $200 million. The final number came out this week. The final budget was $387 million. It almost cost $400 million to make this piece of crap. $80 million just about in post-production to make Harrison Ford look young again. You know, this was just an absolute flogging of a once timeless franchise. And what they got was nothing. They lost money on it. It was not a surefire bet like they thought. $80 million alone in post-production. Damn near $400 million on this sequel. The sequel. And the thing is when you're using all this CGI and all these computer graphics, you're supposed to be cutting cost, right? I mean, the original movies, a fraction of that, even if you add in inflation, and they made returns. And plus, you had a healthy, younger Harrison Ford as the star. It's not this big nostalgia grab. They could have made four Oppenheimers for what they spent on this piece of crap. Good Lord. Now, the reviews for Roadhouse, the reboot, and again, this is not me endorsing the reboot, but, you know, the lower the budget, the better, I say. I mean, maybe not like trauma film low, but budgets are getting out of hand with all these blockbusters. But Roadhouse, doing okay for Amazon Prime. I think it was like, when it debuted, it shattered the record for the most streamed debut for a movie or TV series. And it was twice that of the first episode of Ring of Power, that much ballyhooed Lord of Rings series that they were bragging up. And has since bombed. So with a fraction of that budget, twice the eyeballs checked out the reboot of Roadhouse. Of course, a lot of negative reviews for that, but hey, whatever. They're probably not losing their shirt over Jake Gyllenhaal's version as much as, well, trying to get Harrison Ford out of the retirement home for Disney there. Good Lord. Okay, Jared Leto. This was supposed to be funny. Wheel of Fortune, April Fool's Day prank. He came out with Vanna White and hosted the show for a little bit before Pat Sajak came back on. Why? Why was Jared Leto the host? I don't really get the gag here. Again, April Fool's Day is kind of a fake holiday anyway, but when you read something like this, you kind of worry about the contestants. Like, he didn't like mail him any dead animals or condoms, right? Because he's got kind of a rep of being a weird character actor, weird method actor. But there he was, pretending to host Wheel of Fortune. Okay, I talked about the men's Final Four, the female version of that. You know, the women's Final Four. All set. And Caitlin Clark is looking to dominate. I mean, I know UConn, North Carolina State, and South Carolina. South Carolina, by the way, undefeated. They're all looking to grab that trophy, but so is Caitlin Clark. She just, I'm not saying Iowa's going to win this all outright. I'm not making any predictions, but that rematch game of the national championship last year set a record for most watched game for women's college basketball. 13 million. That's not anything to sneeze at. Those are damn good numbers for a cable television show back 20 years ago. That is twice the average rating of an NBA game anymore. Caitlin Clark didn't just beat LSU. She's beating the NBA. She's beating other... She is a talked-about athlete, and anybody that watches her play says she's unreal. And so it looks like she's well worth the hype here. But the thing that everybody's talking about is this little rivalry between her and Angel Reese of LSU, and how, like, they're, last year when LSU shocked Iowa, everybody made a big deal about Angel Reese, you know, crap talking, shit talking Caitlin Clark, you know, with the "you can't see me" thing, and everybody thought that was disrespectful. But as some people pointed out, okay, Caitlin does that to her opponents in other games. And I was just kind of like, well, there's that. I mean, if you dish it out, expect it to be dished back to you. So I didn't give Angel that much crap about it. Still not. But she still likes to do it. She still likes to talk shit. And that's the game of shit talking. If you're going to dish out something, be prepared to have it served back to you if things don't go according to Hoyle. So the Monday night game, I guess, you know, she's trying to get into Caitlin's head as Caitlin's doing warm-ups. There is, and the media is just giddy about this. The sports media, you know, they're posting on Twitter, X, and all this crap. Oh, here's Angel Reese for the defending champion LSU Tigers putting her crown on the bench as Caitlin Clark is warming up. Ooh, that's ballsy. You know, it's one of those power girl moves, kind of like, you know, something Taylor Swift or Beyonce would do. And they thought, okay, well, you know, this is going to be great. And of course it was great for Caitlin because she had, like, what, 40 points that game? I mean, she was just on fire. Fuen fuego. And so when Angel Reese hit the bench at the end of the game and LSU was losing, all the Iowa fans were taunting her and stuff. And at the end of the game, after the game, the press conference happened, and she's in tears. And she's talking about how this was really telling. Ever since she won the championship last year, she hadn't been happy, which I found very weird because, I mean, that's what everybody strives for. But this is kind of like an Alexander the Great moment where you get what you want and you weep because you realized it wasn't all you needed. But she was talking about some of the derogatory things online. And if you're famous, it's probably a good idea to stay offline. She's received death threats from people. And again, I'm going to say this. It's not cool for anybody to get death threats. She says that there's people that have sexualized her. And again, stay off the internet for the sake of your sanity there, Angel. But she was crying about how all these fans were taunting her. Haunting her. And it's like, you can't be putting your crown out there and not expect Iowa fans to do that. This was the revenge game. By the way, Jason Sudeikis was in the audience, Ted Lasso, and he was doing that, you know, when she went out of the game. And I'm wondering when some of the Bleeding Heart media is going to jump on him and demand an apology and expect him to do better in the press release and all that. He may have already done it. I just haven't seen it online yet. But this is just, it's, you can't talk crap without expecting people to talk crap back to you. And I know there are some pundits trying to play up the racial thing. Well, Caitlyn's white and everybody likes her because she's white. And, you know, Angel is black and everybody doesn't like her because she's black. And I don't buy into that. You know, I'm just saying, with Angel, I don't dislike Angel Reese. And, you know, I don't dislike Caitlin Clark. I'm just saying, when you do it, you put your hat in that game, you know, your hat in the ring, that's the game. And maybe it's because, you know, when I was at Ball State, I was part of a fraternity, and, you know, around guys, and there's a lot of shit-talking around guys. And when they brag up about how good they are at XYZ, and then it blows up in their face, you know, the guys around them are going to bust his balls a little bit. That's just how it is. But a lot of the talking pundits, the talking heads in sports media keep bringing up this race aspect as to why Angel's getting the grief, and it's not that at all. It's because she just kept talking, okay? And Caitlin did that last year, and Caitlin still does that, but right now the ball is in her court. It's in her favor. Okay. Tim Duncan was a star player for the San Antonio Spurs for years. Very quiet, humble guy. 5 championships. It's one of the sort of kind of quiet dynasties in sports history, because you kind of forget that the Spurs won 5 championships. But no one, I don't know of anybody that's ever said anything bad about Tim Duncan. Yeah, and by the way, Tim Duncan has one more championship than LeBron James. But, you know, he's, you know, kind of, you know, he's the anti-LeBron. He's the anti-anybody that talks crap. You know, he went out there and won, and for the most part, a lot of people respect him. Now, I say they're kind of a quiet, kind of sort of quiet dynasty, because the one loudmouth that talks shit all the time is the old white coach, Greg Popovich. Pops, anytime there's a political story, he has to run to the camera and sound off and call everybody idiots or worse that doesn't agree with him. See, I respect Tim Duncan because he's quiet and humble, but I roll my eyes at Greg Popovich because he sounds off on everything. That's how I play the game. And I think a lot of people, a lot more people than the sports media would want to admit, play along by the same rules. But that's not the story. By the way, Paul Pierce is an idiot. You know, I guess after the game, he was shocked that a white girl like Caitlin Clark can school so many black girls from LSU. And he's playing that up like it's a big shock that anybody that works hard can be successful. Paul Pierce played for the Boston Celtics, a franchise that has Larry Bird's numbers in the rafters. How do you overlook that, Paul? And speaking of dumb sports people, Skip Bayless, I guess going into the men's Final Four, you know, the Madness, March Madness, his undisputed on one of the Fox Sports talkers, only averaging 50,000 viewers per day nationally. 50,000. That is terrible. But then again, sports talk, radio or television, has always had shit numbers, just bad numbers, and we shouldn't be surprised about it. But we elevate guys like him and Colin Cowherd and Jim Rome because, they're entertaining or something. They absolutely had nothing to sports. Absolutely nothing. Adidas added something interesting to sports this week, although they're saying they're not totally at fault for this because this is the German governing board of soccer, but they have these new men football jerseys that you can get. And the number 4 looks strikingly eerily, ominously familiar. The way the font looks, it looks like a Lightning Bolt S. So if you get a 44 on this men's soccer jersey that you could or used to customize, it looks like a pair of S's. Historically in Germany, not good. So they've removed that customization of the men's jersey. They say that shouldn't be a problem with the actual men's team because the numbers only go up, I think, to 23. But somebody could get the number 44 and go, oh, look at me. I'm part of the, you know, the Stormtroopers. Are, yeah, you get it, man. It's not good. You know, but again, Adidas says these were the fonts we had to work with, and that's, again, for the German governing body of soccer. Whoever's fault this is, you're in Germany. You didn't think somebody was going to pay attention, and you don't think somebody outside your country was going to go, uh-oh, they're at it again. Yeah, bad luck. German-based athletic apparel company and a German-based governing board could not choose, but Comic Sans font would be a better font for all you font nerds out there. It would, because it's just goofy, good fun. There's nothing evil about it, as far as I know. Okay, another instance where experts are effing wrong is what I'm trying to say. I'm a little caffeinated right now. You know how they've been saying for years and years and years, eggs are bad for you. If you eat a lot of eggs, they'll raise your cholesterol and you'll die of a heart attack. You know, if you have like that 7-egg omelet for breakfast. Well, that probably would kill you. Well, you know, like a 3-egg omelet or something. There's now a new study that may contradict that. They say that there is no conclusive evidence that it raises cholesterol, and that, in fact, eggs may, in fact, be good for you. So the Simpsons got it right again, because there was that episode of The Stonecutters where Lenny told Homer that, while eggs may raise certain cholesterols, it might be good and not bad. So Lenny predicted the future. Simpsons did it again. But yeah, it's another one of those things where, oh yeah, we always thought this, and now we don't, because the science is evolving or something. Okay. Now this is not good. California, a favorite place for me to go prep wise, because yeah, Florida man shows you what not to do if you're drunk or high. And you know, the best course of action is to not be drunk or high all the time, right? But California shows you what happens when good intentions govern. And nobody likes making dick for a paycheck. No, nobody enjoys not having money. But there are certain realities, like the living wage. Is it really feasible for a living wage to be made at a place that allegedly serves value meals to customers made as cheaply as possible? Don't think too hard on this. We used to be a country that made a lot of other things besides frozen potatoes dipped in oil. But California now has this new law about raising the minimum wage to $20 an hour. From the AP, California fast food chains are laying off workers, raising prices, and deciding against opening new stores as the state implements a minimum wage that is more than 175% higher than the required federal government. So, yeah, this is more, just about twice what the federal government recommends. Alex Johnson, who owns 10 Auntie Anne's Pretzels and Cinnabon bakeries across San Francisco Bay Area, said his sales have slowed down in 2024. Huh, weird. Forcing him to lay off employees and even use his parents to help with human resources, according to Associated Press. Wonder if he's living at home. The wage increase will cost Johnson about $470,000 annually. So he plans on raising prices between 5 and 15%. Cinnabon, by the way, never cheap. He is also no longer hiring new employees or looking to open more stores. So essentially, this minimum wage law has capped his ability to expand and employ more people. Two Pizza Hut franchisees said they plan to lay off more than 1,200 delivery drivers and switch to using third-party delivery services such as Uber Eats and DoorDash, which requires customers to pay more for deliveries, per Business Insider. And yeah, I think you had, I'm not sure what the tipping is with that because I don't like using Uber or DoorDash. Southern California Pizza Company and Pack Pizza, both Pizza Hut franchisees, such as expressed, plan to lay off about 1,200 employees as well. So they're capping the number that they can hire. They're firing people. They're outsourcing. They're raising prices. Customers are going to balk at that because, you know, inflation already. Money's already tight. And this looks like a losing proposition. Again, you can't make a living wage in fast food unless you're in management or you're a franchisee or an owner or somebody up the corporate chain. That's where you, if you really want to make money in fast food, that's where it is. It's not working the drive-through window. That is an entry-level job, or that's a part-time job, or that's a job you have in college, or if you're retired, it is not something to sustain a family with. But people are making that argument, saying, yeah, well, we have to be more considerate. Well, your consideration is costing these people who could expand and employ more people money. And it's also making people who are looking for a quick bite to eat or feeding their families think twice about spending money there. This is going to wreck a lot more. But this is governing with good intentions, because you're thinking, well, we're giving everybody a chance. Well, no, you're basically telling somebody how to spend their money. And if they have to spend it one way, they're going to find other corners to cut to make it happen, if at all. So that's what's going on with that. Kind of keeping in the realm of fast food here. In squatters, too, because that's been kind of a fun thing. New York, you know, that squatter issue of the woman getting arrested for trying to kick squatters out of her own home. And there have been a few more states that have taken notice of this. Most recently, Governor DeSantis down in Florida signing some bills into law protecting homeowners from people squatting in their homes. And if you have a winter home down in Florida, you know, you're not down there part of the year anyway. So, I mean, that's pretty keen thinking on his part. Not bad for a politician. But in back in New York, another one of these squatter stories. This is in Queens. This is linked up on the Mike Davidson Facebook page, by the way. Homeowners are trying to kick these squatters out. Or actually, yeah. These guys that were squatting, they were no longer paying rent. The landlord trying to kick them out. And they're saying that they legally live there, and they're entitled to live there. And the legally binding document that they present to the judge and everybody in the courtroom is like a $20 receipt to Shake Shack. Yeah, that's all you need to own. You know, I don't know if they got this notarized. You know, that's probably the thing they should have done, is gone to a bank or the Bureau of Motor Vehicles and gotten the receipt notarized. Or the person, the Uber driver who dropped it off, you got to get that, make it official so that they can accept that. I mean, if they did that, no question, the home is theirs. It's only like a $900,000 building, no big deal. Yeah, I just get the receipt notarized and everything's as good as gravy. Okay, a couple more stories before I call it a podcast here. You can't go home again. You know, you don't know what you got until it's gone. And I think that's true with the Ringley Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, which used to have tons of animals like lions and tigers and bears, oh my, elephants, horses, the whole spiel. And of course, PETA ruined it for everybody. They say, well, you know, you can't torture animals, you can't make... So they got rid of the animals, and there is a, I guess, version 2.0. This is the new Coke of circuses. Ringley Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus now has a robot dog. And this thing, it looks pitiful. Unless you can program this thing to, like, maul a robot tamer. I mean, what's the point of having it? This... Yeah, nobody is going. No, the circus used to be the thing. I don't think it's a thing anymore. My wife wanted to take me to a circus for my birthday this year. That fell through due to some unforeseen costs. No, it wasn't a drive-through delivery or a fast food delivery. But I think that circus I was supposed to go to had animals. I couldn't imagine. Oh well, we got a couple of clowns and a robot dog. Hey, who wants to watch this clown fly a drone? Not the same. Doesn't hit the same. And finally, kudos to Arizona for pissing off all these scientists. They have now named Pluto their official state planet. Pluto, of course, has not been a planet for a few years because scientists got snooty and said, well, we're kicking you out of the country club. Adios. But they say that's a state planet, and I didn't know you could have a state planet, seeing how there's like, eight official planets and the Arizona planet and 50 states. So here's my thing. Looks like the forecast has cleared up a little bit for the state of Indiana next week for the eclipse coming up Monday. It will block the sun. I think there needs to be an emergency legislative session where Indiana declares the moon its official state planet. I mean, it's in front of the sun, ain't it? Any scientist that tells you, no, it's an Earth satellite, it's not a planet. If you make it a planet in your state charter, it's a planet. Trust the science or some baloney. Anyway, thoughts said, done, I'm done. Till next week. Next time, stay fresh, cheese.
You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @DavidsonLives.